morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Friday, April 20th, 2018. We have 23 ships on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have some small craft advisory stuff going on the Columbia River bar until 10 this morning, and then again in this evening it's going to kick in again, so you can sort of see the weather systems that are moving through that affect those conditions. So everything, it's another example of how everything is all connected. The weather rolls through and we start seeing the effects of that weather in the natural environment. And the weather meaning areas of the atmosphere that are swirling and moving and blowing across our area. We have a combined seas 4 feet on the Columbia River bar, and then they're going to rise up to about 10 feet with breaking waves during those max ebb current times. We have one of those started around 8:30 this morning, so right now we have one of those max ebbs happening there, and then around 9:15 this evening we'll have another max ebb current period. And we could have those 10-foot waves at one story high breaking into surf on the Columbia River Bar. So even though the weather's good and it looks gorgeous outside, those conditions at the Columbia River Bar can still be very hazardous, even though there's not a storm in sight. not a storm in sight. Overall, in our marine weather forecast, we do have a small craft advisory for winds in effect from this evening through Saturday morning. And a small craft advisory for hazardous seas in effect from late tonight through Saturday afternoon. So you see the sort of the lingering effect of the wind on the water, where the winds advisory can end and the high seas remain until that energy is dissipated that has been transferred into the ocean by the wind. Today, overall, north winds 5 knots backing to the southwest in the afternoon, 5 to 10 knots. Wind waves from the southwest 1 foot at 4 seconds, and west swells 6 feet high at 12 seconds apart. Let's take a look at today we're going to be talking about the bulbous bow, which is a really funny looking thing on all cargo ships these days, at least the ones that we see. And what is that for? We're going to talk about that. Why is it there? Turns out it's a really beneficial thing. But let's take a look at today's Columbia River ship schedule. First, we have 4 inbounders, 9 in the Astoria anchorage, 3 in the Rice Island anchorage, and 6 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Pabour, arriving from China, headed for the Vancouver anchorage upriver near Portland. She's a wheat ship. She'll pass Astoria around 7:30, and about 6 hours later in the afternoon, she'll be in Vancouver. Shikoku Island is arriving from Seattle, headed for the port of Vancouver. She'll pass Astoria around 8 a.m., and she, too, around 6 hours later, will be up in the Vancouver area. The Star Helena is arriving from China, headed for the Astoria anchorage. She'll get there around 2:30 p.m. The New Days is arriving from South Korea, headed for Longview to pick up logs. She'll pass Astoria maybe around a little before midnight, and about 3.5 hours later, you'll see her running lights in Longview. In the Astoria anchorage, we have the Ascanius. She's headed up to Calama to pick up corn, soy, or wheat, leaving around 10 a.m. The Palais is headed for Longview from the anchorage at about 1 p.m. She's a wheat ship, so maybe about 4:30 she might be up there in Longview. And the Luminous Halo is headed for the Rainier anchorage. She's a wheat ship, probably picking up her wheat at Longview, I would guess. She'll head out of the anchorage around 6 p.m. And we have the BTG Matterhorn is awaiting orders. She's a wheat ship as well. Other ships that are awaiting orders in the Astoria anchorage are the Leto, the Star Amethyst, the Sanyu, the New History, and the Fortune Sunny. And in the Rice Island anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria, we have the Ever Sovereign, the Medi Baltimore, and the Leda. In our outbounders, we have the Ultra Diversity, leaving the port of Portland around 10 a.m., headed downriver and out to sea. Should take about 6 hours. It really depends. You know, there is an average transit time from Astoria of about 6 hours between, say, Astoria and Portland. But that can be affected by weather. It can be affected by the current. If there's a very, very heavy ebb coming downriver, that will tend to slow ships down. At least it'll make them use more fuel, but it also tends to make them slow down. So there's sort of some wiggle room there. That's why you can't really set your watch by the ship schedule. And also, ships move according to their needs, they're not like buses or trains that are serving customers like passengers. So they have approximate departure times because the pilots need to know when to be on board, and they need to coordinate their movements with other ships. But it is sort of something that can change during the day. So that's why sometimes you'll see a ship on the schedule for several days in a row, because it just has not completed its business in port and so it isn't leaving, or it may be slowed in its arrival by weather or other factors from getting here when we originally thought it would. Let's see. The Interlink Equality is heading out of Portland. She's got potash on board, leaving around 12:30 p.m. The Nias is leaving Kalama, carrying corn, soy, or wheat, around 4:30 p.m. The Star Lisford is leaving Longview. She's got logs on board, heading out about 7 p.m. About 3.5 hours later, she should glide past Astoria. The Urgina Luck is leaving Vancouver around 10 p.m. Maybe you'll see her pass Astoria outbound. Her running light's at about 4 p.m. She's got 4 a.m. tomorrow morning. She's got wheat on board. And the DACC Adriatico is leaving Kalama with wheat, leaving around 11 p.m. About 5 hours later, she'll pass. In the wee hours of Saturday morning, she will pass Astoria outbound. Well, today I want to talk about one of my most favorite topics. You know that I'm a ship geek and I love to research weird stuff about ships, but this is something that's very visible. A lot of things in the maritime industry are very invisible, going on kind of in a way that most people on shore would never know was happening, and those are very fun things to do. But this is something that anyone can observe, especially if they are near an anchorage like we are here. So if you look at those ships that are sitting out there, they don't have any cargo on board. They're sitting high in the water. A lot of their bottom paint is visible. When they come down river, you don't see this, so you see it, tend to see it in the anchorages only. But in the front of each ship, below the waterline, is a bulbous bow, it's called. You know, if you look at pictures of ships, the classic profile of a ship is the bow comes down to the water and continues underneath the ship, creates a smooth profile there where the ship cuts through the bow cuts through the water. It's kind of a romantic notion. Well, on cargo ships these days, and this was first invented during World War I by an engineer, there is a bulb that sticks out as far as the farthest point of the bow on above the waterline that is protrudes there, and it looks really kind of funny looking. So what is that for? Is it extra cargo space? What is it about? Well, it actually is an engineering design that improves the efficiency of the hull. As counterintuitive as that may look to you, it actually causes the way water flows around the hull to change, and the net effect is that it reduces drag, and what that reduces drag and friction, and reduces and increases the speed of the vessel, allows it to go faster, because ships have a hull speed that is built in that has to do with their length. So this allows the ship to go faster. It increases its range because it increases its fuel efficiency, so it can go further on a given amount of fuel. It also increases its stability, so it slightly increases its buoyancy as well, so it reduces the amount of pitching a ship does to a small degree when it's at sea. Now, if you've ever been out at sea in a ship, because of the swells, the natural swells, ships have a tendency to sort of nose down into the troughs and then rise up. And depending on the intensity of the weather, that can be quite severe. So this reduces that. Now, you don't see this on every ship. You don't see it on every boat. You tend to see it on ships that are longer than about 50 feet and vessels that are operating most of the time at their maximum speed. So it's ideal for cargo ships, and that's why you see the cargo ships that we see in the river have that bulbous bow on board. So it's a very interesting design feature, a relatively new one in the whole history of shipping, and a very interesting one that really does help make the ships operate better. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Have a wonderful weekend. Use this wonderful weather to go out and look at a bulbous bow near you. Have a great weekend.